You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim. I'm here with the creepy Ed Stetzer in front of a live audience here at Exponential.
And as you can hear from the wind, we're outside.
Yeah, no.
And the wind, the cold wind is blowing.
You know what was creepy about that?
What's that?
It's because I have earphones and it's like you're blowing into my ear. It was really creepy. And you just blew into everyone's ear.
I will never do that again.
Thank you.
Ever.
Super creepy.
I just wanted to sound like we're kind of there. Anyway.
All right. Well, it is a windy day in sunny Orlando, Florida. But today we have a question from Chris and Karen. Two different churches. So why don't we, Chris, why don't you start us off? And then Karen, why don't you add on to the question and we'll get to both.
Fantastic. Thank you, Daniel. And Ed, excited to be on. My question is, why is it important to distinguish a leadership path from a discipleship path? Like, what's the difference and why is it important to do that?
Okay, good deal. And the amazing
Karen, and out of pure curiosity, do you feel there is a need to have separate pathways or trainings for men and women? Can they be the same or should they meet separate?
Interesting. Karen, do you not have a last name? Is it a secret?
Nine.
Are you at nines? Are you in the witness? Like, that's cool. So when every year we did the nines back in the day, it was kind of like about you, wasn't it? Did you watch it? Because you had to.
It was her event.
Yeah, you had to. All right.
She actually sponsored it. It was product placement.
Exactly. Yeah, you and Rick are close. Yeah, I understand. All right. That's awesome. This is your baby. I've asked him the last two because I'm working over here while you're sitting there making fun of my wind sounds.
All right. Well, the awesome thing about you, Ed, that I really appreciate, and one day
anytime
I
hope, start a sentence like that, I'd like to know more. The awesome thing about me is what?
One day I hope to grow up and be like you.
But it's
the fact that you can multitask like no one.
Ah.
Like literally, I have seen him speaking in a workshop while texting me, like at the exact same time. Not to say that you're doing that now.
Don't judge me.
It's okay.
Don't judge me.
All right.
Tell you what I'll do. When the main session today Exponential, I will text Daniel M. Let's throw down right now.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So yeah, I can't multitask like that. But you know, Chris and Karen, thank you for your questions. And just to give you guys, and we'll put it in the show notes of today's episode, I did a 90-second leadership video talking about the concept, as well as I talk about it in my book, No Silver Bullets.
Five silver bullets.
Thanks, Ed.
You need silver bullets to kill vampires. And vampires hurt discipleship. So therefore, we need five silver bullets to not drain the life of discipleship out of your church.
So you've gone from talking about the zombie apocalypse to vampires now.
They're both real. They're all coming. Just so you know, the zombie apocalypse is inevitable. Let's just be honest. Do you know there's a CDC webpage for the zombie apocalypse? Have I ever showed this to you?
I don't.
I want everyone right now. This is a true story.
Let's not do it.
No, don't listen to them. You think I'm kidding. No. This is not a fake page, but the CDC has a zombie apocalypse preparedness guide. And I'm going to show right now to everybody here, because no one believes me, but right now, do you see, is this not the actual CDC page? This is the zombie apocalypse. They wouldn't have that if it wasn't going to happen. They know something we don't know. It's real. Have you never been there? Have you never been to answer my question?
The Center for Disease and Control.
Can you see right
no.
now?
No.
Right
yeah,
now,
that's
that is a real thing.
Yes. Okay. So, okay. On that note, actually, when my grandfather was still alive, I remember visiting him at his retirement home and The Walking Dead was on.
Nice. All right. Did you know that in the movie?
I don't think he knew how to change
the
channel.
In the movie World War Z, do you know where Patient Zero was?
No.
Korea.
I don't watch movies like that.
You're a Christian. I don't either. I just want to say I don't watch any movies because I'm a Christian.
Okay. But, so back to the question.
Patient Zero was actually in Korea.
Right,
in the book,
awesome.
It's in China, but they didn't do it in China because the Chinese government then would let the movie in there. So they blamed it on the Koreans.
There you go.
So people might not know that you're actually of Korean descent.
Yes, I am of Korean descent.
That's good.
You.
So you're the source of the zombie apocalypse.
I am the source of the zombie
really
apocalypse.
This has really gone badly. All right,
this
go ahead.
Really
go ahead
gone, yeah, exactly. But you know what? It's a part of the thing. It's just a part of it, right? So we just got to roll with it. All right. So Chris and Karen and everyone else, it's really fascinating because you'll see a lot of people talk about leadership development and discipleship. There's going to be two camps, right? Some people say it's the same thing and other people say it's different. And the people who say it's the same thing say it's kind of like, I mean, I've heard multiple respectable people that you will have heard of say, hey, you know, leadership development is just advanced discipleship. And they'll kind of put it along the same spectrum. And the issue with that is there's a very big difference between leadership and discipleship. Leadership, you can learn and you can be finished with, in a sense, because you could learn and grow in certain leadership competencies, right? So if you want to know how to cast vision or communicate vision, that's leadership and you can learn how to do that. If you want to know how to plan, you know, set a budget or balance your budget or do, I mean, these are leadership skills that you can learn and grow in and in a sense, check off and be done with and continue to grow. Discipleship is, as Eugene Peterson said, right? It's a long obedience in the same direction. The moment we begin seeing discipleship and leadership as the same thing, we begin actually importing the way that we view leadership as being something that we can complete onto discipleship. And it's dangerous when we see discipleship as something that you just go to and check off. And there's a lot of people in our churches, especially in our consumeristic culture, that see discipleship that way, right? They see it as, I just got to do this 101 to 401 class and I'm done. Or maybe you have
subtly take a jab at Rick Warren?
No, not at all.
Okay, 101 to 401.
I was actually at Saddleback last week.
There you go. Thanks for dropping the Saddleback reference.
Yeah. Okay, but you know, the reason I share that is because you have individuals who are like, well, I was discipled like 20 years ago, right? I was discipled 30 years ago. And you, as this young pastor, want to introduce this new program or this new study or doing one. We did one-on-one back then, or we did this. We've done all of this stuff. I'm good. Just let me stay with my Sunday school class that I've led for the last 50 years, or let me just keep on doing what I'm doing and I'm fine, well and dandy. And the thing is, when they see what they're basically saying is, I am done with discipleship. Right. So it's very dangerous to see them as the same thing, but they're very intricately tied together. So in those silver bullets, I talk about the vision, right? The vision of your church. And in order to get to the vision of your church, you got to do things, right? You have programs, you have studies, you have groups, you have women's ministries, men's ministries. You have a lot of these things. They're the strategy that helps you get to the vision. But in that strategy, in every church, you have one strand that's the discipleship pathway and the other strand that's the leadership pipeline. So in a sense, everything that you do strategy-wise, ministry-wise, men's ministry, women's ministry, small groups, you're equipping the saints for the work of ministry, right? The leadership pipeline, and you're also maturing them toward Christ, right? The discipleship pathway. So they're not the same thing, but they're intricately tied together.
It doesn't your boss's boss say that they're the same thing, Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck in their book.
I don't think they say it's the same thing.
They certainly seem to have it closer together than you do. I don't work there anymore, so I just thought I'd throw you under the bus.
Hey, historically. That's okay.
So if Eric Geiger is listening to this right now, one of my best friends. Here's the thing. I'm kind of agnostic on this question. Mm. I don't care as long as you have a system.
Yeah.
Because I think ultimately, if it's a system that is seeing those things deeply interwoven or seeing those things as distinct, if you can just have a system, I think both can work.
Yeah.
Am I naive at that or do you think so?
No, I agree with you. The reason I like parsing them out is because the last thing that I want to do is continue to perpetuate this notion of discipleship as a program or discipleship as something you complete. And I believe that leadership is something that you can complete and grow in. Right, which is why we do so much work at Lifeway Leadership around competency-based leadership development and leadership pipeline. But when it comes to discipleship, the goal isn't, and here's the thing, I don't really care if you do 101 to 401 or if you do one-on-one stuff or triads or small groups or Sunday schools. I don't care the way that you disciple your people. All I care about is whether or not you're helping individuals become self-feeders and they're growing closer to Christ over the years. Right. And that's once we move that into the program realm, that's when you begin having that tension of, oh, I'm done. I've graduated. I've finished. But there isn't that point on this side of eternity.
No, I think I'm with you. I think you have articulated it well. And both people had the question they really were getting at, and they're probably in advanced situations. Most people listening to this, you just need a system that might include both, might include, but I think larger, you probably see them more, at the smaller level, you might have them more connected. But I think ultimately it's that systematic, intentional pipeline of discipleship that's not four and done or one and done.
Yeah, for sure.
And that ultimately has an ongoing leadership as well.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that is hard for a lot of people to get a hold of because, and I think the reason people tie them together is people do see discipleship as generally an ongoing lifestyle of growth and spiritual maturity. Well, they don't see leadership in the same way. So mm-hmm. I think people try to tie it in so that people can be more leadership focused. Mm-hmm. And I would say that, you know, I'm mentoring my leaders. You know, I meet with John and I meet with Christina's with me and Rick and others, and they're leaders I've raised up and mentored. And it is sort of connected even for us. You know, we might be reading Cotter's book on change management, but we're talking about how to minister to the body of Christ at the same time. So they definitely are connected.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So Ed, what do you think about the second question, Karen's question about men's and women's and the difference around that?
I have found that it depends upon the person. It's interesting. So when I think of some of the women that I've sort of mentored or spoken into and tried to raise up, people like, you know, like Lizette Beard, Amy Whitfield, others.
And Lizette just got engaged.
And Lizette you just announced Lizette's engagement here on
well, hey, she did a little YouTube thing. So it's public.
Okay, I didn't see it. Yeah. I didn't see it.
And
okay.
She texted Todd and I the YouTube video of her and her fiance.
Oh, wow. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. It was,
but what I would say is that in most of the cases, the women leaders that I've sought to sort of raise up or maybe encourage and mentor, it has actually not been in a women's only setting. Obviously, I'm not a woman. But we've also, for example, when I was at Lifeway, we actually formed a women's mentoring group that I led, and I brought some women leaders into help.
You led the women's mentoring group?
You were there when I led the women's mentoring group. You know that. Did you not know that?
Do you hear how that sounds?
Yes,
that
I do.
You led a women's mentoring group?
I didn't know. No one was there doing okay. it, and I said, let's do something.
All right.
And now there's lots of them.
All right, cool.
But I in our organization, like most evangelical organizations, sometimes it's men have a tendency to sort of network together, go do so. And so I actually had two women on my team, Carol and Lizette, come to me and say, listen, we're not going to play basketball with everyone, and we're not going to do this. How can we learn, get mutual learning, grow together, et cetera, et cetera? So at their request and in their partnership, we formed a group for that, about 15, 20 women. We read through stuff, Keller's book and Selma Wilson, the amazing Selma Wilson at Lifeway. So I would say there's a time and place for both. That was it was a year-long leadership pathway that we walked together of mentoring discipleship. I go out with, you know, in smaller groups as well and talk through some of those issues. But mostly for me, I think in most cases and in most places, it's better just to do men and women together rather than I would say there are, you know, some people want to do women's ministry and praise God for people who want to do women's ministry, but that's not an area or space that I walk in. So I don't know, you know, how to respond in that other than one mentoring group that I did because I wanted to kickstart some of that going on at Lifeway.
Yeah. I think it's less about the curriculum or the content. I think it's more the benefit of men's and women's separate, but also together. But the benefit of the separateness of that is there are some issues that, and the way that you process, and there's obviously the accountability side of things, but there are some unique issues that women and men face differently. However, I think it's dangerous to only have the women's and the men because there's a lot that you can learn from one another and a lot that you can be teaching and growing in with one another because, you know, it's how do you, for example, my wife, there was an overtalker in her group. And when there are overtalkers,
you're kind of the overtalker in our group, just so you know.
And she was like, what would you do? And I'm like, if it's a group of guys, I just tell them to shut up. You know, or you just jab at them, you tease them enough until they realize that they're over talking. And Christina was like, well, yeah, that's not going to work. Yeah. Right. But in a mixed group, there are things that you can learn from one another in that. So I think both are very important. I just don't think you have to have different content for both. All right. Well, thanks again for listening into our podcast.
To be fair.
Yeah.
I would have loved to hear not two guys opine on that subject as well.
Yeah.
Because I would like to, I think that's a good question. So here's my challenge to you. Let's revisit this question in a future episode and let's have a couple of women leaders be our guests and have them answer the question.
I like that.
You know, we've had several on already, you know, well, different venues, not necessarily here, but let's see if we can have a women leader answer that question.
Yeah.
Let's that do gauntlet that. Is thrown down and we'll give them a really good Bluetooth speaker in exchange for that.
Awesome. Thanks again for listening in. We'll catch you next time.
It's funner with an audience.